Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
What is up, friends? Welcome into Attacking Third, fresh off of the rugby mat, soccer mat of the national team versus Brazil. My word, we are going to break that down. We got Lori Lindsay, Jen Beattie in the house. I'm in the host seat, your girl, Darian Jenkins. All right, we're going to give you our initial reaction to the lineup, thoughts on the first half, second half of the match. Get into the chaos of what all of that just was, as well as talk about some individual performances. And then, of course, looking ahead, who stood out, who solidified their position, and look at some spots that are still open. Now, whether you're with us here on YouTube, on GalazzoNet, or as a podcast, we appreciate it. Make sure you jump in the comments and let us know what is going on.
Okay. The comments are cracking.
Are popping off. They're popping off, which rightfully so. Jen, have you ever seen a football match that physical / insane?
I can honestly say no, I don't think so. I think we all know physicality is such a huge part of the game. The chat pre-game was all about how physical Brazil were. We knew that was how they played the last time out at the weekend. But most games, when they have a physicality element, there's still a lot of football played elsewhere or someone gets a grip of the game. It just felt like from start to finish, guys, in some ways, I'm not surprised to see the amount of red cards, but man, it completely lost it towards the end. That was, talk about 1v1 player for player marking and really going all in on the physicality side. It was tough to watch. It was a game where, you know, that was clearly at the forefront of both teams' priorities, and credit to both teams. They absolutely matched each other for it physically, right? But what a game. My eyes are still like this because my eyebrows are probably going to be stuck here because they might have.
Like you got Botox up here.
Yeah. Sometimes the camera would pan to the entire field and there was just bodies on the ground, and I'm like, my goodness, the amount of tackles, the amount of, you know, shirts being pulled, late tackles, everything. It felt like a really physical game. Not sure how you guys felt.
No, I told you in my group, the group chat, that I'd be hiding in the corner if I was in the field. Like, I was like, just wow is what it is. You know what? Credit to the U.S. though, because I feel like this is what Emma Hayes was saying about in terms of, you know, it was going to be another very vocal crowd that was going to be behind the Brazilian team. They even spoke about coming out to warmups and the fans booing them. And, like, you want that, right? You want that in the game in the sense that, like, you want to have a little bit of gamesmanship. You're playing in Brazil. That's the whole point. But I thought the U.S. to like, at least when things were, like, when the red card started coming to the Brazil bench and then to players – they at least kept going. We could have been 4-0, right? Because we could have seen a couple of the goals to put the game away. But I felt like good on the U.S. I felt like they came in, the subs. I felt everybody kept fighting. The back line was tremendous. And then Cooper moving to the back line as well. She was fantastic. So, and then Sophia Wilson, I mean, helping lead the team once again. So,
yeah.
Well, that's the show, everybody. No, yeah. I'm just playing. Let's actually break.
Yeah, good night.
E3 After Dark, let's get into it. First of all, lineup. Let's get into this starting lineup. Some big changes coming in. Six from the first time that they played, with Claudia Dickey getting the nod to start in goal. Patterson comes in on the left, paired with Kennedy Wesley, Sonnet, and Fox on the right. And then Rose Lavelle comes in more of a 10 position with Lily Johannes and Lindsay Heaps in front. And then Emma Sears gets that spot on the left side with Cooper on the right. And Sophia Wilson claiming that nine with conviction. Now, when we first saw this, you know, we all did the recap after the first match against Brazil. We all kind of agreed, like, they need speed. They need aggression, a little bit more direct play from those wingers. And I thought Sears and Cooper was such a flex that that's just kind of at Emma Hayes' disposal to use in a moment like this. And I think they did really well coming into this. But Lori, for you, were there any changes that you were curious were made, or was this kind of what you expected coming in from Hayes in the second match?
Yeah, I mean, I thought we would see some changes. I wasn't exactly sure, but we did speak a lot about, particularly too, because it was one of the points that we were talking about being more direct, and Jen even saying diagonal. And I think that we didn't see like big diagonal balls, but it was at least played into the corner, and then that allowed for some of the space to open up centrally. And that's where we saw a lot of, I think, success in the second half. If you,
yeah,
I would say success, because bodies were flying in the midst of that too. But I would say when the U.S. was able to find some space out wide, or at least get into 1v1 situations, I think that's when you saw, okay, this is the major vulnerability of Brazil, because if they are going to play player for player, then they're going to be dragged all over the place, and they're going to follow those players to the wide areas. So then that's when the space opened up more centrally. And so cutback balls, the shots that and opportunities that the U.S. missed, I think, are ones that they'll want back. But still, Cooper and Sears, I think, were really smart changes in that regard to at least continue to push and try to open up Brazil even more.
I love the graphic comparing the height of the Thompson sisters to Sears and Patterson on the left hand side.
Yeah.
Just about more of an aerial presence and just physicality, and boy did that show in this game. And I think that was such a decision from Emma Hayes coming into it. Also loved Wesley, centre back. I thought herself and Sonnet were brilliant. I think in a player for player setup where you're marking and going high, stepping out of the back line is so important. And I thought the two of them were both brilliant. So that was cool to see Wesley get a start from the off. Actually, she was one that I was kind of hoping from the weekend would be in. So those two changes and definitely Patterson on the left. I think she had a brilliant game. You love the whole back line though, Dee, right?
I love the whole back line. I do think Avery Patterson getting the start was, I think she's a player I said I want to see her get the start. I think she deserves minutes. I don't think the left back position, again, still very open. I still don't think it's hers after this match, but I think she's showed such balance. She made the right decisions. She didn't go forward too much. She picked and chose her moments. She just played safe in a way that made so much sense in this game and was able to stay healthy as well, because she was dealing with a lot on that left side, a lot of people going at her constantly. So I thought she did great. I also want to give some applause to Claudia Dickey. She didn't face much. She didn't have to do much on that front, but I think she has this presence. We've talked about the Claudia aura, where she is just so calm, cool, collected, like nothing really. She doesn't even put her hands up sometimes when there's a shot, because she just knows it's going wide. Like, she reads it well. But I feel that this back line really benefited from the assurity that she gives them to build out. And just, she's very, very reliable. So I think that was a really big change that we saw the positives come from in this lineup. So when we're going through the first half, chaotic.
I don't even remember the first half. That was
in the second half. it started early. You know, Sophia Wilson had a chance in 20th minute. Michelle Cooper had one. Lily Johannes was kind of threading balls through. It was much more open. I think Brazil wasn't so on top of the U.S. players as much as they were in the second half.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a strong first half for the U.S.
Yeah, no, I think this the chances Brazil's defense were much better in the first half. The second half, Brazil's defense were much more open. Their back line was, you know, very much out of shape and getting dragged and maybe struggling. I thought the US actually had the better physicality in the second half and kept up with the speed of the game. But the chances missed from the US were huge in the second half. And I think that's one thing that we're looking at. Moultrie's chance, could she have played Rodman? Rodman's earlier chance from off the second phase of a set piece, I think it was. So they had big, big opportunities. I thought Lorena was absolutely brilliant in the net on the other side for Brazil. She was another standout in the entire game. But definitely the physicality of the second half opened up much, much more. And it was just chances missed from FS that I think they'll be massively disappointed with them. You have to put them away.
I love this comment. Recap of first half. Foul, foul, foul. Missed US shot. Foul, foul, missed shot. Add in Lorena Tate, because at the end of the half, Sophia Wilson got a chance and it was off of Sears beating her defender. Kind of a point blank shot. She struck it well. Lorena makes the first save and then has the double save off of a point blank shot from Wilson. And I actually do, when I'm thinking about this back, I think that gave Brazil some fire they didn't even need going into the second half. And I know we have a momentum chart of this game, and I really want to see what it looks like, because it just felt like the only rhythm in this game was based on the fouls.
Wow.
You can see how sharp those sort of drops.
That's like an end-to-end game, no?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can see the US has much more of the advantage, but how drastic that graph moves up and down between Brazil and the US, I mean, truly, truly paints the picture.
No, then it makes you think, though, no wonder emotions were all over the place, if that's what it's like. 1 minute you look like scoring, 1 minute you look like conceding a couple of times. So I do get it when you're in those kind of games and it is end to end, and then referee maybe is calling certain things and not calling certain, that is hard to maintain. But I actually thought, with that said, I thought the US maintained their what can you say, temper,
composure.
Very, very well, considering how emotional that game actually ended up being away from home as well.
I think that was the challenge too, right? From Emma Hayes, just to be like, okay, listen, this is what these situations are going to be like. This is why we're here, as we were saying, and so important. I think also you could tell too, if the US would have put one of those goals or that Sophia Wilson opportunity away in the first half, how much I think this game would have changed too, because I mean, quickly after the US scored the goal, Brazil was like nowhere near what they had looked like in the first game or even glimpses throughout that first half. I mean, they were the structure completely lost. Obviously we saw what happened on their bench in terms of basically everybody getting a red card and then more red cards for players. So yeah, it's just, and I think no truer words, goals can change the course of a game, especially in this type of game, right? When it's so drastic.
Go ahead, Jen.
No, I'm just thinking out loud, but when you put it like that, that is like an amazing test for the US.
Yeah. It's huge.
Away from home. That was huge, and how well they actually did, considering, am I reading 8 reds for Brazil?
8 reds. 4 for the coaching staff, 2 players during play, 2 players after the game ended and people were trying to just walk off the field because it had been 100 plus minutes. We didn't even know when the game was going to end.
We were even saying that there could have been a double yellow card in the first double yellow card that resulted in a red card on the when Johannes got pulled down. Yeah, just the blatant yellow card.
2 reds during the run of play. I think first half and beginning of the second half.
So but we're saying it could have been 9.
It could have been 9, yes. Could have been 10.
There is one player left.
Okay. It could have been 10. No coaches at all. Marta's coaching on the side. But despite just being able to match or deal with the physicality that Brazil brought, the chaos, the emotions, the chippiness, what else can the U.S. pull from this that just adds an edge, that sharpens the iron of this team, Jen?
I think the biggest thing for me is, right, they matched physicality all day long. I think on reflection, and I think as a player, you know, we've all experienced this as well, where games are chaotic. Who's going to be in those moments, right, settle it down? Who's going to be the one to think, right, we can put a few passes together now and this game is getting a bit carried away. Can we change certain things? But those in-game moments, I think that would be the one thing from that, because you don't want a football match to end the way that it did. No matter what end of it you're on, whether you win it or lose it, of course, everyone wants to win. But I think on reflection, the biggest learning from that is, okay, we match physicality, but we let the game become a little bit too emotional on both sides. Finishing chances is absolutely huge, bottom line. I think going into a World Cup, to create that many chances against a top, top team, they have to be put away. And I think that also settles a game. Stating the obvious, but it does. When it's such a still a fine margin, it can still be really emotional on both sides. I just still can't believe that game is a friendly. That still blows my mind when I'm talking about it.
That's like a knockout game.
But yeah, those would be my like two reflections. Finishing chances, stating the obvious, but and then managing the end-to-end moments. Okay, you've matched the physical. How can you actually settle it down now in certain moments?
Yeah, I would say too, I'm thinking like right up the spine. I mean, we talked about the entire back line in Dickey, and I thought, again, they were excellent. Yeah. But Sonnet, Heaps, and then Sophia Wilson, I think right up and down the spine were excellent. And to Jen's point, yes, I mean, they'll be disappointed, right? Everybody will be that they didn't put those chances away. And you need to, but if you're going to spin that a little bit in terms of like coming back from the result just a few nights ago, knowing that there was going to be a chaotic environment again, and then also dealing with everything that we've just talked about, to be able to come out of that game. I mean, the U.S., no one got red cards, right? I thought I saw in the comments that somebody said Sonnet drew a red card, but maybe they meant like drew.
Like,
Brazilian player, right?
Yeah. The push well that got Bia her second. Yeah. I think that's how I read that.
But tonight, you know, honestly, besides like trying to match some physicality, I felt like did a very good job of just kind of staying out of any of the chaos. And I think that's exactly what you want in these moments, because as we all know, in World Cups and stuff, in these tournaments, you have to be able to, it's just about managing the emotions and just almost just like keeping as cool as can be, because at any second things will change. But one positive, major positive, is you create that many chances away from home the second game, even though you don't put them away. I think that's a huge positive for this U.S. team.
Yeah, if I'm being nitpicky, the other thing I'll say is just being cleaner on the ball when the U.S. For did sure. have it. I think there was a lot of really cheap giveaways. Credit to Brazil forcing a lot of that with how hard they were coming in, how physical they were. They made it almost scary to be on the ball a little too long. I totally understand, but there was just a lot of, also the field didn't look great, I'm going to be honest. Yeah. A lot of bobbling, it just looked very unbalanced. And that added, I think, to the chaos of that momentum chart that we saw. Looking at Brazil, Laurie, you mentioned, yes, they're hosting the World Cup next year. This was at home. The crowd was behind them. Energy was there. This felt like they could have done better without having to get so many reds, though.
Totally.
I don't like looking at this squad and how they're leaving this game in that fashion. But looking ahead to the World Cup, how good are they going to be in a year's time playing at home?
I mean, I think in a lot of ways, this team is exceptional. We've seen them, how deep they are. I mean, everybody that they're bringing off the bench too, it's recognizable names for us who are playing at high levels that, you know, could be difference makers. I would say the thing is, though, to be honest, this is like, it's not totally surprising given that like I did the call against Colombia in Copa America final, and it was sort of the same thing. Arthur Elias was like basically losing it, not getting a grip on the sidelines too. And to me, I think there is an opportunity. We heard Julie Foudy say this too, right? Like this team, they are exceptional players. So there is a level of, I mean, we watch them all the time in these players in the NWSL and just lights out, right? And there is the ability for this team to be having physicality, having individual flair, and also just like a structure to the way that they want to play to either hold off teams or, you know, limit chances. But I think that also starts with their head coach, because I mean, even just from the beginning, when he's doing the bib over the jersey and stuff, I'm like, this is just, and that's fine if you want to cause even a little bit more chaos, right, and try to disrupt the game and all of that stuff. But this team is, in my opinion, for Brazil, is too good to be relying solely on that. And then you also get the coach, meaning getting caught up in that in terms of, hey, just get your team. You just won. You have another 45,000 people in the stands again tonight. And your game plan is actually working in terms of some physicality, but mix that in with the quality of play that you have with your players. And, but again, it's not totally surprising since we've seen this, I've seen this in the past. So to answer your question specifically, the sky's the limit for this team, but I do think they're going to have to like dial some things in to not let some of these games get away from them, because it was still 1-0, right? For like the longest time. Yeah. So
I feel, Jen, let me know if you disagree, but I almost feel the way that they play the dark arts of football, you know, messing with momentum, tripping at the ref, going down so often, it almost ends up hurting them more than their opponent.
Yeah.
Every time I've seen Brazil in a big game, like this was just a friendly, but it felt like a knockout game. But every time I've watched them for years, remember watching as a little girl on TV, them going down so much, it adds time. And then what the match where the US equalized in added time from their own injuries, where the players jump up and are totally fine. I feel it almost is like their own Achilles heel, that they have such good footballers. I wish we got to see more of it when they're with the Brazil national team. Because you're right, Lori, we were talking last week, all three of us, about, wow, does Kansas City miss Bia? God damn, do we miss seeing her in the NWSL. Yeah. We didn't even get to really see her tonight on the ball. Just doing and like, how they're playing.
In a red card, like we're not used to seeing Bia get red cards. Dujinha, Ludmila, we see just outstanding players. Rafaeli's coming off the bench, right? It's just Caroline. Yeah. Goodness. Yeah.
I just can't see that changing though. It's so ingrained in teams, and I think that would be such a huge shift to see that change. I also looking back and thinking about that game, the referee tried to get a handle of it early doors. So I honestly don't even know how it unraveled so crazy. And then even towards the end, the two after the game was finished, I think.
I thought you were going to say, I don't really know. I only played them in the Pintar Cup.
Jen, what was the secret to have 100% win rate against?
Oh, yeah, it was my day. Completely lost track of my thoughts. Bottom line, they're such a talented team, Brazil, and you probably are right that, you know, doing the things and delaying the game in certain ways doesn't help them, actually hurts them maybe. I'd be so interested to be in that dressing room now though, to see what the messaging is and to see how they're all reacting to it, reflecting on it. But when it's across the board, it's your management and your players, I'm not really sure how the reaction will be. Maybe we can get one of them on A3.
Ooh, yes.
Come on, we'd love to have you.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward. I know we all are looking forward to seeing this Brazil team hosting the World Cup next year. And I hope this isn't the type of football that we see in that tournament, because them having this at home and how much it means to the squad, these players, the legend Marta on your team, I think they can do so much better than what they put out tonight. But ultimately, a great test for the U.S. They come out with a win and first game a loss, but a lot to take away. And we, of course, are going to break a little bit more of that down and talk about some individual performances that stood out to us in this second match. So stick with us after this quick break.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
What's up, friends? Welcome back into Attacking Third. We talked about the game, the drama, the red cards, Brazil. Ugh. Let's talk about the U.S. and which players truly stuck out to us in this second match. Jen, coming to you first, who gave you high vibes in this game?
High vibes. I'm going Avery Patterson for me from a standout. There's a lot of conversation around goalkeeper, left back, certain positions that are up for grabs. And I think all you can do is take an opportunity. And, you know, it just goes to show between whether it be Gisele Thompson, Patterson, whoever's in that position, I think everyone is so capable. And it depends tactically how Emma Hayes wants to set up. But Patterson was definitely in there for physicality and she absolutely matched it. I think you were saying, Darren, about her forward attacking as well and being really decisive of when and how to do that and not going forward all the time because she would have just left so much space. But the biggest thing I always love for defenders is when they step out of their line and get it right. And I think the whole back line was so good at that today.
Agree with that.
Whether it was Sonnet, you know, even when Sonnet's stepping into midfield on the build-up, that's such like a grey area for a defender to go in and do that. But the way she recovered and got back in her back line, but I thought the whole back line, Patterson was the standout for me, stepping out, really physical, got her decision-making very well spot on.
Lori, why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because I'm...
Whenever I see the two of you start giggling, I'm like, what have I said?
No, because I know that I look at Darren and she's like, what is Lori up to? Actually, I meant to put this in our group chat when we were watching the game, but my favorite part of that game was at one point in time when Sonnet was like on the front line and then she had already moved to the back line and there was like a through ball into Sonnet and it just felt like
so
this totally makes sense for the game. Yeah. And, but yeah, I'm going to go with Coop. And I love what you said, Jen, about the... I thought Wesley and Sonnet were excellent in terms of like leading the line centrally. They stepped out. I think Kennedy, Wesley did such a good job of coming in for physical game. Everybody was up for the battle is really what it felt like. And the back line, I think, made it so much easier for everybody else because they were stepping and condensing. So it just made one the ability to either win the ball back or just less room for the midfield to have to like navigate. And then in the end, that also helped Heaps. And Heaps is in like a little bit more of a deep lying role. And I actually prefer her in that than higher up the field. So it allows like Rose to like to push up. But Coop, for me, massive game. Starts off as the winger and then right back. It was amazing. I'm like, keep going.
Her 1v1 defending was so good.
It was excellent. Yeah.
I thought the way she handled, again, another moment where I think the US players handled really well, but Cooper especially was when, you know, the opposition claimed to have been stamped on and she just kind of handles it well, walks away and, you know, clearly on my end anyway, watching it, I didn't think anything happened, but no reaction, credit to her, just walked away. That's all you can do in those moments. But no, I agree, Lori, she was brilliant as well.
Yeah, what a flex.
Yeah.
As well.
Totally.
Just know, yeah, for sure.
All the confidence in the world, 1v1 against some Brazilian superstars. Just stand out in this game. Michelle Cooper, stock up and up. And I love that we got to see her be able to flex that she can do that. Because, yes, she plays kind of a wingback position with Kansas City. But that was huge.
Yeah. I also think going from like an attacking position to a defensive position in that, I can't think of it. I mean, it's almost midnight. In that order, instead of going from like a back line where you typically, and then we're like, hey, listen, we're chasing a game and I'm going to push you forward. I think to move back and then to what you all were saying, getting her 1v1 footing correct, right? Making sure she's putting herself in good positions, keeping her feet moving. And I think that can be, at least for me, maybe because I just never wanted to play defense that much. But like, I think that's really challenging to switch the mindset that way compared to the other way when you're just like pushing forward and are used to attacking from the back line instead of doing the other way around. So
also, I have a really good attitude about it.
Yeah,
totally. I'm like, mostly I need to see the Coop fan shirt, I guess. Like,
the Coop. I agree with you guys. We're just all going to agree. It was a great defensive game from the U.S. I think Kennedy Wesley was so good. Mm-hmm. Avery Patterson was great. Emily Sonnet, like, that is her bread and butter type of game. If you need a player to come in and set the tone and be a leader, that's who you rely on. Coop was amazing at right back and in the attack. I thought Lindsay Heaps, it was one of her stronger leadership games of, I'm going to keep the team cool. We're going to get through this. We're still going to stick to our game plan. And I think if maybe if she wasn't on the pitch or an Emily Sonnet wasn't on the pitch, that game could have been 20 times more the chaos than what we saw tonight. We also have to shout out Sophia Wilson. How were we ever questioning? I mean, we come up with things to talk about, some hypotheticals, you know, when she was on maternity leave. The 9 is hers off of a throw-in. Yeah. She holds the ball up. She doesn't overdo physically trying to push defenders off. She just holds it up, breaks between two defenders, sets herself up for a shot. It ends up being an own goal. But a goal's a goal. She got the goal. She created that out of a simple throw-in. I just think she's excellent and looks like she hasn't missed a single step in her game.
Yeah. No, she looked so sharp. Even the ball played into Lavelle, like that was another one that I think should have been a goal. But no, I totally agree. To watching that goal back and the position she was in when she actually received it, to then, you know, shift, get herself out of it, completely 1v1. And then, okay, huge deflection. That's also irrelevant because you're right, a goal's a goal. But it was the way she kind of created that opportunity completely for herself. That moment kind of opened up the rest of the game for me because there were so many better opportunities that actually came after that. But yeah, she's looking so sharp and I agree. I feel like the 9 is hers.
Guys, did your heart break a little bit for Lorena when that went in though?
Considering the game she was having, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was like, it wasn't even on target, was it? That's why it went down as...
Oh, I thought it was on target. Was it not?
It didn't look like it. No, I feel like that's what
they gave it an own goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they did give it an own goal.
They did give
it. I thought they gave it to Wilson, and that's what I... So I was like, oh, she deserved... I was kind of like, okay, she deserves
it. They initially said that and then said it was given it an own goal, and then there was like 30 minutes of added time. So it all got kind of lost.
The game's still going now, actually, apparently.
Yeah. All right. There's been a few other red cards. Yeah. And also... and we also still don't know how much extra time is. I thought Lorena was excellent, too. On that goal, though, initially, two things came to mind. I was like, first of all, like the roll and spin to keep a hold of it, because prior to that, I was like, everybody needs to pass and move. Do not hold on to that ball any longer than three steps. Pass and move. And then Soph gets it and like starts doing the spin, kind of like you rolling her defender. But I was also thinking, like, as soon as she struck that, I'm like, this is a player that this makes so much sense, because regardless, she's like creating, it's not even luck, right? But she's creating opportunities that are forcing Brazil. This is even what I felt like we talked about a ton after that first game, is put them in positions that are going to show, or at least put them in positions that it's going to show that they're the player for player is difficult against the U.S., right? Going up. And I felt like that goal to me showed there was just loads of space in front of Lorena. But even if it's a miss hit, still ricochets off of a player and then ends up going in, right? And so I just think those are the moments of a player like Sophia Wilson, regardless of how many games she has back or whatnot. I mean, just extraordinary talent.
Yeah, a force. I love this comment. Before we move on, shout out to Roxy Lola's mama. She said, if this game helped with anything, it helped unlock the cages from the U.S. players' inner soccer beasts. They'll need them come World Cup time. I love that. It felt like one of those games you look back on, you're like, if we can overcome that, bring it on.
Well, they're still playing, so.
Yeah. Who knows?
This game's going right into the World Cup.
Never gonna stop. Stay in.
Stay locked in, folks.
All right. Well, we're not gonna stay here. We're gonna move on and look ahead. We're talking World Cup stocks of players and who solidified their position from these two matches next. So stick with us after this quick break.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Welcome back into Attacking Third. Don't forget CBS Sports Golazo Network is your home of the world's game. Don't miss live reactions of all 104 matches, plus in-depth analysis and watch-alongs all summer long, streaming free 24/7. You will see some very familiar faces on that coverage, so make sure you tune in. Okay, ladies, spinning it forward and final thoughts of these two matches against Brazil. Of course, we have to look ahead at the World Cup. The roster is slimming down. We're seeing what Emma Hayes is loving, players that have chemistry, the connections that are being built on the pitch and that are becoming effective in real time. What are the biggest takeaways that we learned from, I guess, this roster from certain players, Lori, that you're taking from these two games in Brazil?
Well, I think my overarching thought is this gave us, this team, exactly what they were hoping to get out of it. Environments that were going to be a lot different than what they're finding here on home soil, refereeing decisions or lack thereof, right? Just given the last couple games. And also just how important it is to just ride some of these waves within a 90-minute game, not even just within the two games. So, but in terms of personnel, is that what you're asking in terms of specific personnel? Or
yeah, I guess who do you think kind of solidified their positions?
Yeah, good question. I mean, listen, we probably already mentioned them because of just the nature of this game, but Sophia Wilson for sure. Not that that was ever any question. I guess I would pose one that I've been thinking about in this game to you two. Well, how much do you think this gives Dickie a step forward given, and maybe not, but you know, I'm thinking because obviously the Men's World Cup is starting in a couple of days, and that has been an ongoing conversation for the U.S. men that like for the first time for our U.S. men going into, it's going to be Matt Freese, right? But like there was a lot of question who was going to be the number one. And it was really the first World Cup in however many years that we haven't known that, at least 6 months in prior. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying that that has to be just like that in the women, right? Because Fallon tells Joyce, I rate her so much. And we've seen those two go back and forth. McGlynn and then got the start this last weekend in the first game. So I'll just be curious on how much you think this game in particular potentially separates or doesn't, or how much more time do you think until Emma needs to solidify that position?
I don't know what you think. I think there's still time on that based on, I don't think that was a game to solidify that position.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of testing. Until there's a game, it's so hard for the US because you're very rarely, you know, really tested multiple times. So maybe it comes down to games we might not see, big saves in training, but I still think that position's not nailed down. And I think
no, I would agree with that. I was just curious what yours.
Yeah, no, I think it's always going to be a really interesting conversation because we're still a year out. And even I'll go back to even the backline and the rest of the squad. It was the first time the backline had played together as well, and look how phenomenally well they did. Yeah. I just think it's so hard to call, you know, even who's a bubble player, because we would have said that, or potentially about Cooper, and then look what she does going in at right back and does phenomenally well. I just think the depth is incredible. And for me, what's going to be so amazing to see is how this team is tailored based on opposition and how that is kind of solidified, because I don't think it's going to be a case of there's going to be 1-11 and subs coming off the bench. It's this team is so tactically sound to be able to do different things. And I think that's what these Brazil games showed me personally, in terms of it's the most physical I've ever seen US play in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
So for that, for me, that's what's going to be interesting over the next year, seeing how we start to see a more consistent 11, but consistent based off tactically how Emma Hayes wants to set them up against opposition that they're going to be playing against, whether that's a Spain, whether that's a Brazil, a Japan, whoever, you know, they have coming up or who they draw against, X, Y, and Z. But I just think that's going to be the most interesting thing because the team is so flexible on that based on the quality they have.
Yeah, I think that's a great, the one thing that I'll just say is that it has been amazing just to watch these players under Emma get like the best out of them. Mm-hmm. It's just like everybody is just really feels like for the most part rising to the occasion when they're called upon.
It's like the perfect ideal of champagne problems. I actually think, you know, Jen, that was a good point. She has a best 11. I think she could have a best 18.
Yeah.
After these two games, knowing that this player, this personnel, this connection, the flexibility of this player to be able to play multiple positions in a very physical, very threatening game is huge.
Yeah.
So to me, Michelle Cooper is one of those players that I'm like, she was a bubble player for sure coming into this camp. And to have such versatility and fight and physicality and composure in a still very young player going against Brazil in Brazil was huge. And the other player that I thought was great was just Avery Patterson, but talked about her before, but I just thought she was she just makes the right decisions all the time.
Yeah.
And that to me is very Crystal Dunn-like, where she's great going forward, but she anticipated everything. She was so difficult to break down against. And I think Avery Patterson really, really showed that tonight. I actually want to ask you about Lily Johannes. Mm-hmm. Quietly had a really good game today.
Yeah, a game I think hard for the midfield in those kind of games because they were bypassed a lot. I feel like we said that on Saturday as well, when it was so clear from the off that, you know, they were going direct from centre backs or direct from the goalkeeper. But I still think, yeah, in a game where it was super physical, stepped up massively, had to because of the nature of the game. I don't think anyone... I thought she was great. I just think it was a really difficult game for the midfield. That's what I'll say on that. When there wasn't a lot of combinations, it wasn't like a big possession of the ball type of game. So those games can be really frustrating for midfielders that want to be consistently on the ball, especially a super technical player like Johannes. But dug deep, got stuck in, and, you know, absolutely matched the physicality.
Yeah.
No, you go, D. I'm always trying to like jump in. What'd you say?
I'm waiting for your, just one more thing.
Let me summarize everything I just said to you all. Okay, moving on. I agree with what Jen said about Johannes.
Okay, well, I think we can also throw Claire Hutton into that as well.
Yeah.
I think it was a difficult game for the midfield, but ultimately the best test that the U.S. has needed for some time. They come out with one loss and a win today, with credit to Sophia Wilson holding this team down up front, but saw a lot of players step up and flex how good they can be in the face of adversity. Well, everybody, that is our show, A3 After Dark, recapping U.S. Women's National Team versus Brazil. There was a lot of reds, a lot of drama, but the U.S. coming out with 3 points. Thank you for joining us here on A3 After Dark, whether you're here on YouTube, on a pod, or watching on Glasgow Network. We appreciate it. Attacking Third will be back next Thursday, everybody. There's no Thursday show this week, which is nuts, but we will be back the 18th to talk some more footy and have some special interviews, so make sure you tune in. From Jen, Lori, Phil, and Audrey, I'm Darian, and this is Attacking Third. Podcasts.